While they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of heaven." God. Sorry, may the Lord add a blessing to the reading this morning.
Well, good morning, everyone. This morning we're looking at the second part of this series on dangerous prayers. And I wonder sometimes whether we look at this concept around break me and we think to ourselves, well, broken must mean bad, right? We often think, it's one of the things we grew up with. Have you ever broken something that belonged to your mum or your nana or the window next door when you're playing cricket and you just have a glorious cover drive that next thing goes straight through the next door neighbour's window? That happened at our place. For those that are on social media, I met up with a friend of mine who I played many innings of wheelie bin cricket with at Toowoomba. He's now a policeman and we met at Tyrone Fire Station. What's the chances, right? I haven't seen him for 19 years and he came up to me and said, "Hey, Busty, what's going on?" And I looked and looked and looked, and he had this big beard now, so I didn't really notice him that well, but it was like just like we didn't catch up after yesterday. But we grew up with this play, do not break a window, don't break it, don't break it. Well, there was some times when you're playing cricket, for those that are into cricket, the ball's there and has to be hit. Would that be true for the tragics in the room like Jack? There are sometimes I know that the window shouldn't break. I know I'm not supposed, but the ball is just there and you have to just give it some. It's a man problem. Thanks for that, Wynn. Excellent. But on this particular day, he reminded me of this last Saturday night. He said, "Do you remember that day? It didn't just break one. It was, you know, those windows that the old style windows where one is open and then the other one, like they sort of go together, those sort of windows. Well, they're really great windows, except when you're driving a cover drive straight through and it hits both of them. And you have to not only tell the neighbour that you broke one window, but you broke two. But we're always brought up to say, don't break things. There are some people in our lives who touch with their hands, and I'm not talking about... They need to be touching everything, don't they, Deb? Oh, no, I'll look at that while I've got it in my head. Like, she never broke anything, but they have to touch everything. And when we go to people's houses, we take our kids, don't touch that, it might break. Because we, right from a very early age, we condition ourselves and our children, we all do it, we don't want to touch it in case it breaks. Because breaking somehow is bad. Now this story, the passage that we read today from Mark chapter 14 is directly after the story of Jesus being anointed by the breaking of the alabaster box. Well, is that a bad thing? Is breaking open a jar a bad thing? In this instance, it's not bad. I think that eggs don't seem to have the same level of usefulness unless they're broken, right? Same with stained glass windows. They are a complete group of broken pieces put together to make something glorious, aren't they? And yet we seem to have this conditioning within society that broken equals bad. I want to challenge that this morning and suggest that broken gives opportunity for the Creator to rebuild. Into who He wants us to be. and how he wants us to be. I think today is one of those dangerous prayers that we can pray. Last week we prayed a dangerous prayer, and the prayer was, search me, know my anxious thoughts. If there's anything within me, I want you to renew a right spirit within me. Today we pray a prayer that says, break me. Two different stories in this same chapter in Mark. One where Jesus is having an alabaster jar broken and anointed on his feet, and the response from his followers and the disciples was a negative response. And the very same chapter he says, let's break something else. And he's breaking bread and drinking of the cup. And it's a positive response. More than a year's wages was what that alabaster jar was worth. If you read earlier in Mark chapter 14. And she had left her past behind. She wanted to break open her gift to anoint Jesus' feet. How often do we save or keep something precious for a rainy day in case, just in case we need it? She left everything behind, forgetting what is behind. She pressed on to what she could see in Jesus and wanted to honor him in that way. Her gift represented her past. It was worth a lot of money, but it also represented her future. Jesus went on and then used the passage that Debbie read for us this morning and said that he took the bread and broke it. Do this in Luke chapter 22, verse 19, it says, do this in remembrance of me. And that's where my thinking around the sacraments fits, is that it's doing this in remembrance. It's not anything more, but it's to acknowledge that brokenness is not bad. Do this, it's live a life of brokenness so that we can live out God's purpose. We don't want to be a reservoir that does not allow for us to be a channel of God's peace. We don't want to be a water tank that saves it for a rainy day and actually never opens the tap. We might save it for another time when we might need it more than we need it now. Well, if ever our country needs the love of God, is now. Do this, not just a ritual, but the act itself. This is not an easy thing to do, but to be vulnerable enough to be broken and to allow God to use us for his purposes, to be fully dependent on him, not doing it on our own, but doing it in his strength. This week, there have been many times when I've been completely overwhelmed. Not even going to pretend that it's been anything else. Yesterday afternoon, in the midst of the incident control center, I was praying like mad. Praying for rain, praying for safety. Because the things that I heard meant that it was pretty dire. And I just needed to know that God knew that I wanted our crews home safe. It was pretty scary there for a bit. Barry, I want you to know that I've felt your prayers this week. There is as much as the, I can't stand up here and pretend that this week hasn't flogged me around, because it has. Absolutely flogged me within an inch of being able to stand. But those prayers are the things that carry us, right? Why do we wait? And this is a question I ask myself. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. Why do we wait to be broken before we rely on God? Because if God can carry me when I've got nothing else to give right this week, how much more impact can we have for the kingdom of God when we're floating on air and just having a great week? I need to be relying on Him then too. The catering area has been a hive of activity all week. But for me, it's been an oasis. For those that have been there, they've heard me when I've walked in the door and said, "Hey, Fast Family. It's just nice to have familiar faces. Who love you unconditionally in the midst of some of your ugliest days." My eyes have barely been open most days this week. The effects of this week have certainly broken me. But there have been beacons of light as well. Thursday afternoon, I got an opportunity to pause for a moment and go and watch a young lady from our church graduate from school. Now, that only seems like a small thing, but that half an hour was it's almost suspended reality, right? And it's helped me to recognize that whilst I go at a fair clip most of the time, and Debbie and I do that, those pause moments where God can just replenish your soul. It was back in February that I first said to Sarah, "I'm going to come and celebrate your day." And there was 1,000,000,000 assignments in between. That's a technical number, by the way, 1,000,000,000. There was 1,000,000,000 assignments between then and now. But I got to celebrate that God was faithful on Thursday. And that was a lovely thing to be able to see. Thanks for that gift of being able to see a beaming smile. Are we anaphylactic to brokenness, friends? Are we? Are we scared to be broken for Jesus? Broken is not bad. Broken allows God to shine through. Have you ever been in a motel room where the curtains don't quite meet and that light streams through and you think to yourself, "Oh, why can't they just close?" Anyone been in a motel room like that? And it doesn't leave you with many gracious thoughts in the morning, does it? Oh, to have the curtain not quite close on all of our lives, so that the light of Jesus can shine through. We don't need blackout curtains. There's plenty of blackout there already. This week, let's embrace our brokenness and allow God to use us to shine His light to all that we meet. We're going to sing in just a moment, and the song that we're going to sing, I don't know, I just tripped on it one day and I love it. And it was flicked to me on a message and I thought, man, this is a good song. There's a line in there that says, you're working in the waiting. And there's a line, there's a post that someone shared with me yesterday that says, a waiting time is not wasted time. Well, I'll tell you, I'm waiting very impatiently for this rain. Impatiently. It could have rained yesterday. I would have been okay with that. But we've got to be just praying for rain so that our thirsty land can be replenished. Because it's not just a tree burning down. That's a home for God's creation. But in the midst of our brokenness, God can use us. I found parts of our core district this week that I didn't even know existed. When they sent me to places that I genuinely just didn't know about. And I was ready to walk from my role this week and just come home. I'd had enough. Before you go home, can you go to? And I got out there and I said nothing. They ranted and raved and stressed and went off their head, really. And in my moment of brokenness, whatever was left of the vessel, God used. And I got a message the next day that said, Wes, thanks for all you said yesterday. And I'm like, was I in the same conversation you were in? Because I didn't do any of the talking, right? The only thing I did was give them a hug. Sometimes that's all we have to do is be there. Do we believe that God's working in the waiting? Do we believe that God carries us? No matter what we're facing, we choose to give thanks.